fame is the spur. Adapted for radio in 8 installments by Ken Whitmore from the novel by Howard Spring. Part 6 features Ian McKellen as Hamer Shawcross, with June Barry as Anne, Rosalie Crutchley and Helen Ryan.
I know a wind is blowing which will topple this feeble administration. I know this government won't live to see out 1905. I know a general election must come any day, and that it will bring a great many more Labour members into this House.
Yeah.
I know
that... You know everything.
I am but a humble imitator of my honourable friend, although I don't make so much noise.
Oh, Hamer, you really must read what it says about you here in the Yorkshire Post.
If you don't mind, Lizzie, I'm trying to write my speech for tonight.
Then you must listen to this, Charlie.
Yes, Aunt Lizzie.
Get your nose out of your school books. Never knew such a student for 8 years old. You're on holiday. Anyway, it's bad for the eyes to read on the train. Now, pay attention to what the aristocracy think about your father.
The aristocracy?
Countesses caress this gifted son of Anne Coates. Duchesses flatter him. Wives of mere baronets wonder with a flutter whether he will come to their parties and receptions. Are you listening, Hamer? You starry social butterfly.
My dear Lizzie.
Could I just have a look at that, Aunt Lizzie? Thank you. It's a case of roses, roses all the way for Mr. Shawcross. But is it socialism? That is what the perplexed electorate of St. Swithin's will be asking themselves today as Mr. Shawcross travels north to conduct his election campaign.
You see, pure anti-socialist propaganda.
What do they mean, Countess's caress?
Darling, it's pure paper talk.
They couldn't by any chance be referring to the Countess of Lostwithiel?
Lettice?
I see. It's Lettice now, is it?
No, my dear Anne. I represent a Yorkshire constituency. The Lettice Lostwithiel's family seat is in Yorkshire. London is full of Yorkshiremen showing off their wool and cloth and cutlery and paintings. We both get invited to their bun fights. To avoid Lettice Lostwithiel, I'd have to insult half Yorkshire.
Well, will you two children stop quarrelling? Anyway, Anne, you'll be able to keep an eye on him yourself from henceforward. Now, Charlie's away at school in term time. There's no call for you to be stuck up there in Baildon all week. You can stay in town with Hamer. Plenty of room for the pair of you in my house.
Yes, I think I'd better. But he needn't expect me to flutter about like a social butterfly. Are you listening, O Enchanter of Duchesses?
Of course, darling. There's plenty of work for you to do.
Yes. Anne Shawcross, aged 40, returns to the political arena.
Absolutely splendid. Now, could I get on with this speech?
Do you want to know what kind of political work?
Yes, very well, dear.
Votes for women.
Oh, I see. Yes, well, just as long as there are no more little episodes like your escapade in Manchester with Pen Muff and Ten Ryerson, I beg her pardon.
Hasn't Mummy been in an escapade?
Oh, your mother and Aunt Lizzie went to Manchester with Mrs. Ryerson to heckle a member of the cabinet. And to pelt him with stale eggs.
And to use his top hat as a football. Don't forget his top hat.
For their pains, Charles, they were grabbed by the neck and thrown into the street.
I say, how jolly.
Yes, it was a bit of a laugh, Charlie.
Yes, and no doubt we'll do it again. No matter what you think, Hamer.
Oh, my dear Charles.
I'm not going to sacrifice one inch of my political convictions, Hamer. For you or for anybody.
Darling, I'm not asking you to sacrifice anything. By all means, pursue women's rights. Pursue votes for kangaroos, for all I care. All I ask is that you conduct yourself a bit more discreetly and remember the dignity of my position.
The dignity of your position? Dignity? What about all the great socialist revolutionaries you're forever writing or ranting about? What about John Ball and Wat Tyler? And the Tall Puddle Martyrs and every man jack of the agitators down to Keir Hardie? Down to you yourself before you took up with duchesses. Did they stand on dignity? Am I doing anything they never did?
Will you please not address me as if I were a public meeting? Christopher Columbus, you two women are becoming impossible to live with.
She in here?
She's in bed.
Oh, I see.
Emma, what's happened? Anne came in as white as a sheet.
Yes, I bet she did.
Have you two fallen out?
Mother, am I a reasonable man?
What?
Haven't I always acted in the clear light of reason? Oh, never mind. Can you air the bed in the spare room, please?
Charlie's sleeping in it.
Charlie? Ah, yes, he is. Yes, all right, I'll sleep here and study.
Heyman, now, won't you tell me what's
going on? So if you'll just bring a blanket, my pyjamas, and a dressing gown. Charles, you're up and about early.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
What's all this? Homework before breakfast?
I'm working on my essay.
Uh-huh, oh, yes. Always do your scribbling on the kitchen table, do you?
No, sir. Well, I went into the study, but you were asleep on the sofa.
Yes. Well, I was very late getting home last night. I didn't want to disturb your mother. And what essay is this, then?
Well, we've got to do a long essay in the holidays on anything we like. I'm doing one on the early life of Hamer Shawcross, MP.
Oh. Well, I'm flattered. My early life, did you say?
Yes, sir. Shall I read it?
Yes, I think you're better.
Our hero's early environment was most meagre, for he played in boneyards, and while still a child, was a greengrocer's boy near the canal, which bounded the outskirts of his humble home.
And where did you learn all this?
From Granny, sir. And about the sword, the old warrior, and Gordon and Darkie Cheap. I bet no other boy at our school had a father like you. They all started with pots of money.
You know, Charles, I don't think it's usual to write essays about living people. I don't think they'd like it at Granger's.
No. Don't you think so, Father? I've done such an awful...
Yes, well, it's still practice, isn't it? Hello, kettle boiling. Now, I'm sure someone else... Well, let me see. Oh, what about Alexander the Great or Caesar? Oh, yes, that would be better. Hey?
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Charles. I think I hear your grandmother. Mother? Is that you?
Good morning, Hamer. Hello, Charlie. My girl, you're too early risers.
Hello, Granny.
Mother, could you spare me a moment?
Yeah, I'm just going to get breakfast.
Charles, would you mind going into the study to finish that?
Yes, sir.
Sit down, Mother. A cup of tea?
I'll have a cup of tea, but I'll not sit down. This foot wants feeding.
Very well. Mother, how do you get on with Charles?
Oh, he's a right dear lad.
I was just having a talk with him. He was telling me about an essay he's writing for school.
Essays? They want locking up. Why harass the child's carcass when he's on holiday?
Well, it's for his own good. I'm trying to bring him up so he won't have to harass his carcass as I did. Remember, working all day and studying all night to fight my way out of all that ignorance and misery?
Ignorance and misery?
I want none of that Broadbent Street atmosphere for him, thank you. He's in a new environment. You must see, it can't be good for him to think his people are different from the boys he's meeting there.
But it's a fact, lad. We're different as chalk and cheese. And facts are out sooner or later. Don't they forget Broadbent Street or they'll come a cropper.
Never mind me. We're talking about Charles. His mother didn't come out of Broadbent Street, and neither did half of me if it comes to that.
What?
Well, if it hadn't slipped your memory, Mother, I was...
Yes, yes. Go on. Spit it out, then, before it chokes you. A little bastard.
I'm sorry.
No. It hadn't slipped my mind, son. Did you say you'd poured me a cup of tea?
Yes, here, yes. It'll get cold.
Sit down, Hamer. I've something to say. I'm only an ignorant old woman, Hamer, and you're a great man, or so they tell me. All credit to you. But give me a bit of credit, too. Everything that's decent in you, and that's a lot, came out of Broadbent Street. Who your father was doesn't matter at all. But when you've done thanking God for Gordon Stansfield, you'll be past hoping for.
Who was he?
I don't know who he was.
You don't know?
He was a boy who came into my bedroom one night when I was in service in a big house in Cheshire.
A servant, you mean? Was he a servant?
There was a whole party of these young people. Lords and such like, all of them. I could hardly tell one from t'other. They all looked so alike with their thin, bony faces, long hands, strange voices, like yours. But I'd noticed this one sitting in the hall with his legs stretched out in front of the fire. They'd all come in from riding, and I took the tray over to him with a drink. He didn't smile. He didn't say anything. But his eyes... Something, I don't know. And that night, there he was, with all the house asleep around us. There we were. The next day,
they all went riding again. I watched him going off from a window on the stairs. I was supposed to be cleaning it. He was all flushed, triumphant looking. He was only a boy. They brought him home on a hurdle, covered with a horse blanket. That's all.
Lords?
Yes.
And so my father...
Hamer. He was only his mother's son, like everybody else.
Did you...
Did I what?
Love him?
We didn't get much chance, did we, lad?
Oh, Mother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
Mr. Shawcross.
Oh, my dear Lady Lostwithiel.
I don't believe I'd seen you at a private view before.
No, but they couldn't keep me away from this one when I heard about your portrait.
You admire Augustus John?
I envy him more.
Envy him?
Because he's the only man who's ever captured you completely.
Yes, well, I think it might be better if you moved away and took an interest in some of the other exhibits.
Oh?
You're making rather an exhibit of yourself.
What do you mean?
Tongues, my dear, they're wagging.
Oh, let them. He's docked you to the life. A great woman. Impudent. Audacious. A glittering bird on the wing.
Yes, and you gaze at it just as you used to gaze at the House of Commons and Castle Heroines. Mm. Ah, here's Harry.
Afternoon, Shawcross.
Ah, my lord.
Admiring this masterpiece of my wife.
It is an incredible likeness.
You know, don't voice it abroad, but I don't see it myself. And I should know, I sit opposite her every morning at breakfast. Still, it's a sound investment, so they tell me.
Don't believe a word, Mr. Shawcross. He was in raptures when he first saw it.
I see you're making headway, Shawcross.
Headway?
The Labour Party. 30 seats now, isn't it? St. Swithin's sent you back. May I congratulate you? Remember the fights we had there? You never pushed me out, did you? And you never will push me out, dear chap. Will he, Letty?
I don't quite know what you mean, Harry.
Never mind. Only politics, isn't it? I say, Shawcross, you're not wearing your sabre today.
No. No, no. I've given up doing that.
But you've still got a sabre in your mouth, haven't you?
Aha.
Oh, we hear all about you in the Lords.
Hmm?
Quite naughty sometimes. I suppose you'll be speaking next Monday in the coal mines debate.
Oh, yes, yes. Most likely.
Oh, what's that about?
This new Liberal government, my dear. They want to get us frightful coal owners to share more of our profits with the chaps who actually spoon the stuff out of the earth.
Oh, darling, don't pretend you think they do it with spoons.
I wouldn't know about the clinical details. Anyway, it's a toss of the coin whether this Liberal proposal succeeds. Half of their people seem to be agin it. But Labour will be for it, I suppose, and a good fighting speech from our friend Shawcross here might even convince the Liberal backsliders. Is that about right, Shawcross?
About right.
Still only politics, isn't it? Well, will you both excuse me? I see Arthur Balfour over there making frantic signals at me.
You know, your husband worries me.
Harry does.
I can never decide whether he's an amiable nonentity or the most cunning Tory of them all.
I should say somewhere in the middle. Do you find it rather warm in here?
Yes, it is rather.
And do you think you could tear your eyes from that picture and come for a stroll in the gardens with the humble subject?
I think I might.
I forgot to commiserate with you, Hamer. I was terribly sorry to hear about your wife.
Yes.
Holloway, isn't it?
Yes, yes. A month in Holloway.
I hope they're not treating her too badly. You disapprove of what she's doing?
Well, putting politics to one side, it is killing our marriage. Even when she's at liberty, she's never at home. Always off somewhere, upsetting apple carts.
And it's all absolutely pointless.
Pointless? But this suffrage movement is going to win. I've tried drilling it into Harry. The Conservative Party ought to support these women up to the hilt. Because women outnumber men. Just give them the vote and the future is ours. Because women are naturally conservative creatures. But I think you know all this, Hamer, don't you? That's why you oppose the suffrage.
Well, you can't tell Keir Hardie a thing like that.
Ah, I suppose not. He's so utterly upright, isn't he? However it worked, he'd just see it as a matter of right and wrong. He wouldn't ask whether it suited the party book.
That is, I am a politician. I want to see my party in power.
I believe you will, one day. Give me your arm, Hamer. It's turning quite cold. We've talked nothing but politics. We must meet again. There are so many other things in the world.
When? When can we meet again?
What about your wife?
I've told you. We lead lives apart.
And my husband?
Oh, I see. Oh, in that case, I beg your pardon.
I'm spending next weekend in Wales with the Angleseys. Harry isn't coming with me. Some caucus meeting of the Tories.
Next weekend?
Yes, Friday to Monday. Normally I'd travel home after breakfast on Monday. But I could return on Tuesday.
And we could spend Monday together?
Yes. There's a small inn on the far side of the island, the old rectory. Oh, but it's impossible, don't you see, Hamer?
Why?
Monday, you're going to speak in the coal mines debate. Remember?
All ahead, train! All ahead, Bangor! All aboard!
My darling Hamer, they are letting me out of here next Wednesday. Would you be very kind and bring a cab to meet me? I know you hate being involved in our demonstrations. And there is likely to be a crowd of our supporters outside the gates. So, wait round the corner from the prison entrance, and you will avoid the fuss.
Somehow I'm getting through the days. Scrubbing the board that is my bed. Scrubbing the plank that is my table. Scrubbing my few pots and pans with bath brick. Marching down the corridors to divine worship, exercising in the yard, eating my skilly and loathing it. What a fright all of us look in our coarse serge dresses. But I'm not ashamed. Some of the finest women in the country are in prison. The best of them keep up their defiance, even here. Pen Ryerson is being forcibly fed. Oh, my darling, I could never face that. I saw them carrying her along the corridor by her arms and legs, face downwards, and bumping her poor face on the floor. Little Pen, she's unbelievably brave. I fill my time with dreaming, dreaming awake and dreaming asleep, and with scratching on the wall of my cell with a safety pin. I scratch the same verse all the time. I shall not cease from mental fight. It used to be your war cry, so is doubly precious to me. Because never have I loved you or yearned for you, as in these days of our separation.
I cling to my belief that the best of couples must run into storms such as we have met and grow closer in surviving them and emerge stronger and richer and more deeply united. Try to believe this yourself, my dear. Try to understand me. Try to love me as you used to.
Mr. Broadbent, telephone's working, I'll see. This way, please.
And about time, too, landlord.
Here we are, sir. If there's anything further you require.
Hello? Hello?
You'll have to speak up, sir.
Am I connected with Lord Anglesey's house?
That's correct, sir. Good evening.
Can you tell me if Lady Lostwithiel has left yet?
Oh, yes, sir. Her ladyship went home this morning.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir. His lordship took her to the train himself.
Are you certain of that?
Yes, sir. I went with them. Who is that speaking, please?
Landlord!
Yes, sir? Your wife say fishy?
What's the time of the next train to London? I've got urgent business there tonight.
Well, last train's about gone, Mr. Broadbent. 5:10 from Holyhead.
Christopher Columbus. Of all the damned scheming witches.
All right, cabbie, this will do. Wait here.
Emma!
What are you doing here, Arnold?
I've come to meet my wife, same as you.
Oh, of course. They're letting Penn out as well.
Well, come on, if you're going the same place as me.
No, I'll stay here. I don't fancy getting involved with that screeching mob of Amazons.
Hey, my lad. What's come of you?
What do you mean?
Why are you letting us down? Heck, lad, why didn't you speak up for us in that comic cuts debate on the pits on Monday? You weren't even in the house. A party of us came up from Cwm Dylai, specially to hear you.
I was called up to St. Swithin's. Urgent business.
It must have been damned urgent.
It was. Anyway, I couldn't have made any difference. The Liberals only brought it up as a gesture. It was never really on.
It could have been on. It was up to you to turn it on.
Look at that. Those stupid women.
Stupid? They've got as much right to citizenship as we have. It means they adopt to their business.
I thought you didn't believe in violence.
I thought you did. Sure cross of Peterloo. But it's a long time since I've heard you call that.
Well, they die out, these old nicknames. I suppose it's inevitable.
Aye, and grow old. The kick goes out of us. It's taking our women now to remind us of what we used to be. Ah, they're opening the gates. Come on, Emma.
I'll wait here. Oh, merciful Father, what have they done to her? Anne, darling, over here.
Emma? Oh, Emma. I wondered if you'd come.
Of course I've come. What made you wonder that?
I'm sorry about my hair. I don't look pretty anymore.
Why did they have to cut it off?
I did it myself, Emma. You're not ashamed of me, are you?
Would it make any difference if I were?
All the difference in the world. Emma, hate what I'm doing. But love me, my darling. Please, go on loving me.
Come on. Eat up, my darling. You've got to get your strength back.
Aunt Lizzie, I think my stomach shrunk in protest.
Well, Hamer, you make this young Amazon finish her dinner.
Yes, plenty of food, plenty of rest. That's what you need.
And plenty of love.
And before you know it, we'll have the colour back in your cheeks, and your beautiful hair will be dazzling us again.
No, I'm not going to grow it. It just gives them something to grab hold of. I'm going on with it, Hamer, you know. I'm not giving up.
Darling, you must do whatever your conscience tells you. But not yet a while, when you're fit and strong.
All right.
And it's going to take months, you know. Not weeks.
I know. I still feel giddy, as though I was seeing visions. I don't think I'm cut out for being a convict.
Ah.
Oh, let me answer it.
Oh, no, no, you sit down, darling.
I haven't spoken on the telephone for a month.
You let her answer it, Hamer. My wife.
Thank you. Hello? You know this is delicious.
Hello?
Did you cook it yourself?
No, I didn't.
Nevertheless.
I actually don't
know
how I cook. It's just that sometimes I don't actually have the
time. Yes, I'll get it for you. Hamer, it's a call for you.
Ah.
It's from Castle Hereward.
Ah, yes, Harry Lost With You. I was expecting him to call. Just a little inter-party matter. Excuse me.
Oh. Sit down, Anne.
Harry Lost With You? As if Lord Lost With You would call Hamer for anything.
Didn't it sound like him?
It was one of their manservants.
Well, then sit down.
I know it isn't Lost With You. I know it isn't. It's that wife of his, isn't it? Well, I can soon find out. Anne!
Just a moment, please. Yes, Anne?
Who's that you're speaking to?
Lord Lost With You, I told you.
May I speak to him, please?
Anne, what on earth for?
Just give me the telephone, Hamer.
Certainly not.
I see. Very well, Hamer.
Hello? I'm sorry, that was my wife.
Oh, good heavens. I,
I thought you was in Holloway, otherwise I wouldn't...
Well, never mind that. What do you want?
I wanted to explain what happened on Monday.
Well?
Please don't be so cold. I tried to telephone the inn, but the telephone wasn't working.
I know. What happened?
My daughter was hurt in a riding accident. They sent for me from Castle Hereward just as I was about to set out to meet you. I had to leave at once.
How very convenient.
What do you mean?
I don't believe you.
Hamer, but you must.
Well, it all served your purpose very nicely, didn't it? Look, I've got to go. Goodbye. Anne, please, put that suitcase down. It's too heavy for you.
No, I'm getting out of here.
Anne, what's all this shouting about?
I'm leaving.
Where do you think you can go at this hour of the night?
I've got friends. I made plenty of friends in prison. The right sort of friends. Ones who believe what I believe.
But I believe what you believe.
I know, Aunt Lizzie. But he doesn't. I've got things to fight for, and I'm starting straight away. Goodbye, Aunt Lizzie.
Pen. Wake up, Pen.
Hmm?
I've made some lemon squash.
Oh, thank you, Anne. Oh.
I could sit here forever. You've made a beautiful garden, Father.
Aye.
Don't you think so, Pen?
I've never seen so many roses. Or such big ones.
Well, there's nothing else for me to do. Business has been taken out of me hands.
Outing stalls?
I thought you owned the place.
Only just. I'm still biggest shareholder. At least I think I am.
But you don't go into the shop anymore?
I go up and down when I feel like it. Most of the time I don't.
Then who runs it?
Board of directors put in a fellow called Desiree Crompton, one of Hannaway's stooges.
Tom Hannaway?
Do you know, fella?
Well, I was at a meeting once when he said some terrible things about Hamer. I don't think you know him, do you, Pen?
Only to chuck the odd egg at him.
Well, I shouldn't chuck the odd egg at him while you're in Manchester. He's chairman at magistrates now. Seat on council. But give him credit. He started win out. Pushing his mother's pram up and down Ancoat, swapping rags and bones for white rats. Ah, look at him. Go anywhere and you see Hannaway's drapery shops, hundreds of shops, all with his name on them. You see, wherever you go.
You sound as though you admire him.
I hate his rotten guts. But he's a damn smart businessman. They say he keeps teaching stock exchange new tricks. Now then, are you two having a trip into town? I've got to go in myself later on town council business.
Yes, we might have a ride into Manchester, mightn't we, Pen?
Now then, no need for them funny looks, you two. I know you've not come up here just to see me. Oh, I'm glad of a bit of company to tell to.
Father, you should marry again.
Me? At 75? Isn't two mistakes enough in one lifetime? First Lily, who drove me only child out of the house, and then Hilda, who... Oh, well, Hilda.
Hilda was the maid here before she married Father. What do you think of that, Pen?
Aye, ran off from me in ten with a coal man from Burnley. He was the ideal chap for her.
Why, Mr. Artingstall?
He were used to carrying dirty bags on his back, wasn't he?
Hey! Get out of the road! Organ grinder! Yes, you! Clear off!
Why should I clear off?
This is Manchester Town Hall, not Barnum and Bailey's menagerie.
Who do you think you are?
I'm Councillor Thomas Hannaway. That's who I am. So hop it! How can I park my car if a darn barrel organ's in the way?
Now then, what's all this fuss about, Hannaway?
Alderman Artingstall. Good afternoon. I'm just making this cheeky beggar move on.
What's he done then?
Only taken my parking place.
You needn't shout. I'm off, blooming tops.
Go and give them a tune in, Ancoats. Broadbent Street. They'll appreciate it there. Hey, Artingstall. Now, come and have a look at my car. No change out of 420 quid. Of course, I had it painted that colour myself. Mustard yellow. £20 extra.
Aye, makes your eyes sore.
Now then, jealousy.
I say, remember the first time they met me?
I remember well enough. Funny they should bring that up. Hey, when are you going to buy art installs?
Funny you should bring that up. I've just bought it. You've what? You should have kept an eye on those shares and who was buying them. By God, they're at it again. And in passing sentence on you, Penelope Ryerson, and you, Anne Shawcross, I can only express the utter disgust of all decent property-owning people. Well, you've had your plum, and now you must take your duff. You're a greater menace to people's property than dangerous wild animals. So you'll be locked away for 2 months' hard labor. Put them down.
Here we are again. At least we're together. Prison cell's starting to feel like home. Hello, plank bed. What are you thinking?
I've made up my mind. This time I shall do it.
Oh, no, lass, it'll kill you.
You've done it. It didn't kill you.
Well, I was brought up to it. I was starved as a kid. You're soft. They pampered you.
Good, I'll just die sooner.
You want to go out in a box?
I'll just waste away and go to sleep peacefully.
Do you think they'll let you?
You'll have to help me, Pen.
Well, you'll go so long, then you'll be snatching the food out of their hands.
Promise you'll help me, Pen.
Oh. Well, if that's what you want, I, love, I'll help you.
No food, no drink, no talking to them.
Put the food down. Are you two going to eat? Get them on their feet.
Come on, dear. On your feet, you heard what he said.
Are you women abstaining from food for some ulterior motive? I must warn you that hunger striking is a misdemeanor. It'll cause you to lose many privileges. You'll have nothing to read, no writing materials, nor will you be permitted to take exercise. Is it worth it? Isn't it better to serve your sentence quietly and give no trouble? I see. Then you can eat it off the floor. Good night.
Pen, are you awake? Pen, I can't see you. Are you still there?
What?
Oh, thank God. I thought you'd gone. Try to sleep. I've never been so wide awake in my life. Go back to bed. If you don't rest, you've got no chance. That's the secret.
I can't.
Such pains. And I'm cold.
That's an empty belly. Oh, lie down.
I tell you, Pen, I can't.
Good morning, girls. Sleep well.
Where am I?
Shh.
Oh.
Nice hot breakfast. You take care of the little one, Margaret.
Here you are, Ryerson. Oh.
Now, dear, lovely day. Sun shining.
Oh, do without for all I care.
No, no. Just stay in bed, but sit up. I'll hold the basin and you take the spoon. That's right. Take the spoon. Isn't that a sight for your cold, famished belly? Pop it in. I can see you want to. There now. I called that naughty.
Is she awake?
Shawcross. Shawcross. She's sweating, sir.
I'm cold.
Put it down there.
Looks good. Tastes good.
Look what we've brought for you girls.
Won't you just open your eyes and see? All right, then, I'll tell you what we've got. A white cloth on the table. Pretty brown teapot. Steaming nicely. Cups and saucers. Milk and sugar. And a cake, ladies. Uncut. Cake for you, Mrs. Shawcross. Cake? Cake?
Cake for you, Anne?
Sliced cake, darling?
Take a slice, my dear.
You need feeding up.
Sliced cake, me?
You need feeding.
You need feeding up.
A slice of cake?
Feeding up?
No.
Feeding up?
No!
Something in my mouth. It's choking me, Pen. They put something in my mouth.
It's your tongue. It's swollen up. That's all.
Could you hold her still, please? Thank you. Now, to open her dress. Now, please, be reasonable. I'm a doctor. Now, this is only a stethoscope.
Let me alone. Let me die.
Mrs. Shawcross, you would save yourself and everyone else such a lot of unpleasantness if you'd take a little nourishment. Well, you've quite made up your mind. All right, bring the equipment.
Anne?
Yes.
No. Never mind.
All right. One of you women on each leg.
No.
Watch those knees. For heaven's sake, hold her wrists. Keep her head still, please. Hold her head. Hold it tight. Right. And try and open her mouth.
Oh, this one. She bit me.
Very well. Give me that. No, the other. The mouth screw. Now, open your mouth, dear, or I'll have to force my way in with this. It's made of steel. All right. Now there's a tooth gone. Please try to keep her still. We'll tear her gums to pieces. I'm sorry, madam, but if you won't open your mouth... That'll do. Now the tube. All right. Feed her.
What did they say?
The Home Secretary's considering it.
Only considering it?
He's afraid of creating a precedent, just because I happen to be who I am.
Well, when she empties her stomach every time they do it?
He's considering it.
Hamer, Mrs. Braithwaite telephoned.
What?
Mrs. Braithwaite, from Baildon, your mother. She wants to see you.
Mother? Now? Well, how can I?
Mrs. Braithwaite said you'd have to be quick.
John? Oh, I knew you'd come, lad.
Hello, Mother.
Yeah, I didn't want to drag you up here.
It's lovely to see you again.
Is Gordon with you?
Oh, he'll be here soon.
Where's our aunt?
Oh, she's coming too.
Don't you go riding on that horse, John.
No, I won't, Mother.
You might fall and hurt yourself. Tell them you're not going. You stay here with me.
All right.
Emma?
Yes?
You and Anne. It's wrong. The way you live. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Put it right.
Yes.
Promise me. You'll put it right.
Yes. I promise, Mother.
Good boy, John.
So they barricaded themselves in, have they?
Yes, Councillor Hannaway. They've put one of the beds against the cell door and the other's lodged between it and the wall.
I follow.
Here we are, sir.
We'll need a hosepipe. We'll flush them out.
I'm sorry, Councillor, but I really couldn't take responsibility for that.
Who's asking you? As visiting magistrate, I take the responsibility. Now get that hose.
Darling! Darling, tell Charles he mustn't swim out too far. The tide's on the turn. Promise you won't splash if I come in. I love it at Scarborough, but the North Sea's so cold. I'm coming in. Oh, so cold. I'm not dressed for bathing. But if I hold my skirts gathered in two hands... Aimer, you splashed me. You promised. Oh, so very cold. Why are you so cold to me, darling? Call to Charles. Swimming out of sight. So far away past the lighthouse now. No, don't go after him, darling. Aimer, come back. It's too late. Aimer, you'll be carried away. I'm coming too. Wait for me! If only it weren't so cold. Aimer! My skirt! It's dragging me down! Hold me back! My boy's out there! Someone's holding me back! Ben, I must survive to them. They've gone. Ben, let me go. It doesn't matter now. Let me drown.
Hold on to me. I'm getting you out of here alive. Try to lift your head.
Why, this is so cold.
Turn off the hose, you murderous swine. He's drowning.
Ben!
Cling to me, Anne.
I'm so cold. I don't want to drown.
Ben. Don't let go of me. Ben, where are you?
Anne, darling.
Ben.
Anne, relax. Just lie back and rest, darling. Ben's not here, darling.
Aimer?
Try not to talk, darling. You're very weak. Ben's gone home to Cumdulais. Darning Arnold's socks, I shouldn't wonder.
Where am I?
You're at home. Look.
How long...
Now, you mustn't talk. You've been home 3 days.
I dreamed I was drowning.
You nearly did.
Did they let me out?
The Home Secretary, in his wondrous mercy, waved his wand.
I thought I was dying.
So did the Home Secretary. You almost did. You had pneumonia.
I've got some teeth missing.
Yes.
I must look awful. I must look like death.
Anne, you're lovely. Nothing can hide that.
No. I've got a face like a skull. I know I have. Why are you being so nice to me? Because I'm ill?
Because I love you.
Love me? You haven't said that.
I'm saying it now.
Do you mean you want us to be like before?
I want to look after you, Anne. Always.
But you will bend a little.
Of course.
You mean that?
Darling, you know I never say a word I don't mean.